Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
This is the third part of my message, Finding Your Place in Life. Finding your place in life. And we've talked about several things that will help us to find our place in life. We've talked about the fact that God has fashioned our hearts individually in a special way. There is a way in which God has fashioned your heart, not just your body, but your heart, your innermost desires that are very unique to you. And we've talked about the fact that God gives each one of us unique strengths, and we have to learn to manage our strengths well. Today I'm going to focus more on purpose. So turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse number 1. And we will read from there. And later on I will jump to verse number 11. So when you get to Ecclesiastes 3 after the verse 1, don't close that part. We will jump to verse 11 and read a verse from there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything, 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 there is a season. There is a season for everything in life. And a time for every purpose, every intention, every assignment has its time. I just want to define two words for you that I use in this verse that will help us to clearly understand what the scripture is saying. The first word is season. Season. There are various interpretations or translations or meanings that you can get from the word season. But this is something I put together. I think it captures my intent in using it in my message. Season means a particular period with conditions suitable for some things to occur. A season is a particular period with suitable conditions for some things to occur. In other words, when a season comes, it creates a suitable environment. It creates suitable conditions for some things, not everything, but some things to occur. So when there is a season, it's not for everything, it is for specific things, it's for particular things. And every season has got its own particular characteristics. The second word I want to define for you is the word purpose. Purpose. The word purpose means the reason for which something exists. The reason for which something exists. There is a purpose, there is a reason for everything. There is a reason for this pulpit here. There is a reason for this microphone I'm using. There is a reason for the shoe you are wearing. There is a reason for this building we are meeting in. There is a reason for your life. And for everything, there is a reason. Nothing exists meaninglessly. You may not have understood the reason, but there is a reason. Somebody had some intention and therefore produced what has been produced. And God has purposes for us. Our lives are not haphazard and our lives are not a mistake or an accident or a coincidence in history. Our lives are purposefully designed by God. Now, after the writer in Ecclesiastes has talked about everything, there is a season, a purpose for every thing under time for every purpose under heaven. Then he talks about a time for this and a time for that. He gives us about 14 opposites. A time for to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to gather, a time not to gather, a time to embrace, a time not to embrace, and so on and so forth. He says there is a time for that. Now, it's very important for us to understand that this verse is not saying that God has a time for that. It didn't say God has a time to kill and a time to be born. But it says there is a time, but not that God has a time. The big difference is when you don't understand this way and you think God has a time for this and a time for that, then the impression you will get is that there is a specific time for people to be born and a specific time for people to die. Now, if that is true, then all of us should have been born at the same time. Or everybody should be born in the same month because there is a time to be born. But when the Bible says there's a time to be born, it's not saying God has fixed a time for you to be born. It says simply that there is a time when birth occurs. And I'm going to explain that a bit further as we go along. So, seasons determine the rightness of purposes. Seasons determine the rightness of purposes. In other words, when a season occurs, that is what determines whether a purpose is right or wrong. For example, now we're thankful to God that in our part of the world, the weather is very mild throughout the year. But if you were in a temperate region where the weather was quite dramatic, it can be very hot and extremely very cold. And you buy your set of clothes, and you bought warm clothes, that is, clothes that would make you feel warm, heavy clothes, what we call winter clothes, and you bought them. It's good to buy winter clothes, is that not it? And it's good to wear winter clothes. How many of you agree? Right now, in some parts of the world, some people are wearing heavy, heavy coats. That's why I don't travel in December and January to those places, because my skin and my composition was not designed by Jehovah to survive in those temperatures. So the moment it changes, I say, take your weather. I'm not coming there. But some people are wearing all these heavy clothes. When you go to Britain or you go to North America and you see somebody in December wearing heavy clothes, how many of you think that the person is wise and smart? Would you think the person is wise and smart? Yes. If you were traveling from Ghana at this time to Europe or to America, people would say, have you packed your winter clothes? That's smart. But if you were traveling in summer, can you imagine you went to New York, hot summer, and find somebody wearing winter clothes? Heavy clothes. You would begin to think there is something wrong with the person. But 6 months earlier, you thought the same person with the winter clothes was very intelligent. 6 months later, the same person seems to have some screws unlocked in their brain upstairs. What has changed? The clothes have not changed. The purpose is the same. What has changed is the seasons. So when seasons change, they determine whether a purpose is right or wrong. And it's important for us to observe changes in seasons and the purposes that God has for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Three things. One is that God places His purposes for us in our hearts. God places His purposes for us in our hearts. The Bible says, calls that eternity. He's placed eternity in our hearts. His purposes for us, He places in our hearts. Secondly, God's purposes for us are timeless, but they are fulfilled in time. God's purposes for us are timeless. In other words, if God wants me to be a preacher, it's a timeless purpose. It's an eternal purpose. But that purpose must be fulfilled sometime in my lifetime. I cannot say because it's an eternal purpose of God, I'm just going to wait and just respond to it anytime I want, because it has to be fulfilled in time. And the time is not necessarily determined by God. The time is determined by myself. So if God calls me, it's an eternal call. But my response doesn't depend on God, it depends on me. I can respond to God's call today, I can respond to it 50 years from now. But the moment God calls me, He's going to say, I need you. I need you. I want to use 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 you. And if I don't respond today, next year He will say, I want to use you. I want to use you. Next 5 years, if I don't respond, He will keep saying, I want to use you. Next 10 years, next 20 years, I want to use you. My son, I love you. I have great plans for you. I want to use you. And if I don't respond, He will keep saying that. Why? Because it's an eternal purpose. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God is not going to change His mind about what He's called you to do. But what can happen is, God calls you and you delay, and you delay, and you delay, and sometimes you respond 30 years after the original call. He will still use you, only that your usefulness will be limited because you didn't respond earlier. So God's purposes are timeless. Whatever He wants to do with your life, He will never change it. Even until your last day on earth, He will never change it, because that is His plan for your life. But you have a responsibility to respond in time, although His calling is timeless. Third statement. Although we don't control the future, we can plant seeds towards its outcome. We don't control the future, but we can plant seeds, or we can start doing things that will shape the future for us. The future is shaped by us, by our actions, by what we do or do not do. That shapes how the future is going to manifest for us. We don't control it, but we can influence how the future shapes up for us. Every human being that steps on this planet Earth has a divine purpose that brought them here. As a matter of fact, the reason why you came on the planet is because God discovered a purpose. And then after He discovered a purpose, He decided to create a human being to fulfill the purpose. So you come to the planet not to create a purpose, but to fulfill a purpose. Most of the time, that purpose you get to know early. For some people in the Bible, their purpose was declared even before they were born. Some when they were born. Some after they were born. Some discovered their purpose 30 years after they were born. Some 50 years after. Some 17 years after. But sometime in their lives, they discovered their purpose. Now, I don't know what your purpose is. You will have to find out what your purpose is. And when you find what your purpose is, you have to respond at the right time. Because if you delay in responding to it, you may be walking in deserts and wildernesses for so long and never find your right place on earth, simply because you don't know what you are here for. So what are the indicators? What are the things that will help us to find our purpose in life? I want to give you four things that helps you to discover your purpose, four indicators of your purpose. The first one, and they're all in the form of questions. The first one, you ask yourself this question, what did God take me out of? What did God take me out of? If you are a Christian, you have been saved. You have been delivered. You have been set free from something. One of the indicators of purpose has to do with what God redeemed you out of. Because most of the time, God gives you authority over the thing He delivered you out of. Or He sent you back to the place He delivered you from. So you have to find for yourself, what did He deliver me out of? Now, all of us were delivered from sin. But apart from that, some people were delivered from alcoholism, some from smoking, some from womanizing, some from fetishism, some from idol worship, some from timidity, some from arrogance. But if you look at your life, you can tell that when God saved you, when you got born again, He delivered you from something. Most of the time, what He delivered you from, He wants you to go and minister it to other people. Whatever God delivers you out of, He makes you have dominion over it so you can give deliverance to people in similar circumstances. So consider, where did God take me out of? What was my condition? What has God delivered me out of? What are the things that God has done for me that has given me victory? Most of the time, it's an indication of your victory. Because before God uses you, He's going to demonstrate what He wants to do with your life in your life first, before you go out and do it for other people. So what has God demonstrated in your life? What did He deliver you out of? What have you been set free from? It may be the first indicator of your purpose on earth. Second indicator of purpose. How far have I come in my walk with God? What are the lessons that I've learned along this journey? If you look at your Christian life especially, if you've been a Christian for 5 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, look at how far you have come in your Christian life. What are the lessons you have learned? What are the deep things that God has imparted to you? Sometimes we come to Christ struggling. Sometimes we're struggling with so many things, we don't understand so many things. But over time, God begins to reveal things to us, open up things to us. We learn new lessons. We become strong in specific areas in our Christian life. Most of those are an indication of your purpose. The lessons you've learned, the experiences God has taken you through. Third indicator of purpose. What are the things that move me deeply now? What are the things that move me deeply now? I talked a bit about it in my first series. Has the music changed for me? Must I change my dance? You know, as you go on in life, you enter certain seasons in your life where certain things which were very important to you are no longer important. And sometimes you ask yourself, what's going on? You used to like that so much. And probably even people associated you with that. And all of a sudden you've lost interest. You've lost interest. And the thing happens and you're not interested. It may be an interest in soccer. It may be an interest in something that you used to be very, very interested in. But you're no longer interested in it now. Now something else is moving you. Something else interests you. Most of the time when you go through transitions in your life like that, where something that used to be very important to you is no longer very important to you now, and something else has now occupied your whole mind, and you're praying about it, you're seeking it, and that's all that you want to do for God, it's an indication the seasons have changed for you and the purposes of God are being established in your life. Your life is not an accident, my friends. God will change the season on you. And when He changes the season on you, you'll find the purposes have also changed. Something, it's like wearing winter clothes. You wear them in winter and you are the coolest guy, and then it becomes summer. And all of a sudden, the same winter clothes that used to make you look good, it makes you feel hot. You just feel like taking it off. It simply means the seasons have changed. Have you ever gone through that process in your life where something that you used to give you comfort, now you want to throw it away? And you want to do something else with your life. It may even be business. You start a business, you're doing something, and all of a sudden you lost all interest in that business. It may even be successful at the time, but you've lost every interest. You have no passion, you have no energy. Except that maybe it's making you money, but there's nothing in you for that. When that happens, it may indicate, I'm not saying it always indicates, but it may indicate that the seasons have shifted. It may indicate that God is probably giving birth to something new and something fresh in your life. Because remember, the purpose of God in our lives is not one. He reveals purposes. His purposes in our lives. And they are eternal. But step by step, He reveals them. There are some things I'm doing now, I didn't used to do them 20 years ago. Some things I used to do 20 years ago, I'm not doing them now. Why? Because the seasons change and new purposes are revealed. We don't know the mind of God, but if we learn to respond to the change in seasons, we can follow God's purpose for our lives one step at a time. There is a plan of God for your life. And one of the things I've learned in life is you know, when God was taking the children of Israel to the promised land, He told them, you've never been this way before. And He says, the Ark of the Covenant is going to go ahead of you. Leave a distance. And it was just about half a mile between you and the Ark of the Covenant. And you stay back. And when you see that Ark take a turn, you get ready. When you get to where it turned, you're going to turn. Because you have never been this way before. None of you has lived life before. This is your first and final try. That simply means, it's not as if you have 1,000 years. So you have to be careful to discern when things are shifting in your life. And when the arc is changed, when the seasons have shifted, and don't be stubborn trying to work out an old purpose in a new season. You will kill yourself, you will destroy yourself, you will hurt yourself. There are certain times a season comes and certain people will leave your life. Certain people, not husband and wife, but certain people, friends. And it's not that they are bad, but they will leave your life because they were good for a season, but this is a new season. And sometimes when you see people leaving and everybody leaving at a season, I'm not saying that you have a bad character and you don't get on with everybody so people can hang around you. I'm talking about these are regular friends of yours. Everything seems to be okay. You get to another point in your life and you just realize something doesn't fit. Somebody described it like trying to wash your feet with your socks on. Have you tried washing your feet with your socks on, man? When you are doing it, even if you are doing it in darkness, you just feel something is wrong. This is not my feet. And there are certain times in your life, things are happening, you can tell, something is wrong. This is not how it used to be. You meet these old friends, you crack the same old jokes, you laugh with your mouth, but your heart is not there. You just know something has changed. When you see the seasons are shifting, just say, Lord, where else are you taking me? Because the next step is very important. For you to discern the purpose of God in your life, you must ask yourself, what are the current doors that God is opening for me? What are the current doors that God is opening for me? I don't know about you, but Whilst something is shifting out of your life, something else is coming into your life. And you are going to discover, as you move in God's purposes, that there comes a time when it seems like without any effort of yours, certain opportunities and doors just are open for you. Certain people just come into your life. You don't force it, you don't work towards it, but you find certain people come into your life. You ask yourself, how come all of a sudden all these people are coming into my life? I meet this one tomorrow, I meet another one, and I meet another one, and you can draw a line. All of them have this in common. It may be that God has shifted you from one level, and He's taking you somewhere else. He's introducing you to a new level in your life where His purposes will be manifested. Every meaningful life must be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who makes us aware of the changes in the season. He is the one who brings new people into our lives. And when you see all those people coming into your life and all those circumstances coming into your life, you're not praying for them, you're not even seeking for them, you're not asking for them, but they are coming. It may be that God is indicating something new in your life. Because at every point in your life, everything that God tells you has an expiry date on it. Everything God tells you has an expiry date on it. If God says, I will do so and so with your life, it has an expiry date on it. That phase will come to an end and a new phase will start. When I started my life in the ministry, I was an intercessor. My greatest passion was to pray for people. That's all I wanted to do. If you told me, do you want to be a pastor? I would say no. If you asked me, do you want to travel to the world and preach? I would say no. All I wanted to do was to preach and intercede. To intercede, not to preach, but to intercede and pray for people. I used to be part of various groups, evangelistic groups, crusade groups, and I was their prayer warrior number one. They used to call us prayer warriors because we were fighting in the spirit. But over time, that passion ceased. And I entered a new phase in my life. And that new phase was that of the evangelist. And I used to go everywhere, preaching everywhere. Then, at a certain point, I entered a new phase in my ministry. It was the teaching ministry. I'd never heard anybody teach. I didn't even know people had teaching ministry. It was when I started my teaching ministry that God called me to be a pastor. And that's when I started ICGC. At that time, I had started my teaching ministry. But there was something that I was doing wrong. Because I started the work as a teaching ministry, I never saw myself as a pastor. But God said, I called you, you've been an evangelist, you've been a teacher, now you are entering another phase, the pastoral ministry. You have to learn new things, you have to do things differently. And I had to start functioning in the role of the pastor, and on and on and on. Because God will open one door, you enter, then He shuts it. But when you enter this room, don't think this is the final room. You stay here for a while, He's going to open another door, move you from this room, shut the door. And then you come to another room, you say, oh, this is a big room. I think this is my final station. God says, no, no, no. He opens another door, shifts you to the next room, shuts the door, and He keeps moving you from stage to stage, from level to level, until you complete your life's journey. And by the time you complete your life's journey, you get to the room where you can say with Paul, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. For some people, God opens one door, they get to that room, and they enjoy the room so much, they never move again. And when that happens, perplexity and frustration comes into your life because you don't see any progress in your life again. You remember when the disciples of Jesus were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? They had a great experience. And they said, let us build tents here and settle here. We're not going anywhere. We would die on this mountain. Jesus says, no, that's not what it happens. This was necessary for you, but let's go down. There's another mission. You have to know when the seasons in your life are changing. Because if you don't discover the changes of the season in your life, you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Something that used to give you great success now is giving you failure. And you're wondering, but I used to do this 10 years ago. And do you remember when we used to do this and it worked? That was a different season. You've worn your winter coat for too long. It's summer. Take it off and change. Because if you don't change, you will die with your winter coat in the heat. So, how do you determine the right time? How do you determine the right time? When is the right time? 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 26. The story of Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha. And listen to what happened when he went to take money from Naaman. Naaman said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? And listen to the question. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Now this gentleman went to receive money. And Elisha says, this is not the right time. Now, Elisha didn't say receiving the money is wrong. He's just talking about timing. Is it time? Then in Haggai chapter 1 verse 4, God asked the same question of the children of Israel. When they had gone back to rebuild their city, and everybody was building his house, and listen to the question God asked. Is it time for you to dwell, for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses, and this temple lie in ruins? Now thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So what does that mean? Is it time? Now what it means is that there's a time to build your house, and there's a time to build the house of God. And there are priorities attached to that. There is a time to make money. There's a time not to make money. I get from what Elisha said to Gehazi that the time for making money will come. But this is the time for serving. This is the time just to serve in the house of God and serve with all your heart. The money will come, but this is not the time for it. And we go through times like that when God will shut some doors to you. You will knock all you want, it won't open. You will pray and claim it all you want, it won't open. Because the seasons are not yet ready. But when the time comes, you don't even knock, it is open. You don't ask, you receive. Before you pray, He will answer. Because the seasons have changed. Life is not designed to be a frustration. God didn't design life to be frustration. Life is not designed to be a hustle. God doesn't want us to go through life just hustling and frustrated and working hard and huffing and puffing and sweating and going through all kinds of things just to have something small to eat. When you see your life showing the picture of hard work, little results, it may be an indication you've missed something on God's radar. hard work. You are forcing the thing. It's not happening. It simply means it's not time. So when is the right time? How do you determine is the right time? Okay. There are a few things. The first one is process. Process. Have you worked towards it? Process. Elisha was telling Gehazi, there is a process. You are going to serve. And when you serve, you are going to rise up. God will promote you. And when God promotes you, these things you are seeking after will run after you. There is a process. Have you worked towards it? Have you taken steps towards it? Have you been meticulous getting towards that? Or you just want something to happen instantly? Have you worked towards it? There is a process. There is a process to everything. Process is a series of activities leading to an event. Whatever we experience on earth is based on the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping is the foundational principle of life. Whatever a man sows, that also is he going to reap. So if you're not reaping something, it's most likely you haven't sown for it. If you're not getting it, it means you haven't invested it. If you are not reaping it, you have not sown it. Because you have to sow it before you reap it. So process is the first one. Second thing you have to look out for is opportunity. Is there an open door? Are there conditions that make it suitable for something to be done? Because processes create opportunity. Processes will create opportunity. The third thing you have to consider is readiness. Are you matured for it? You may have gone through the process, the opportunity is there, but are you matured for it? Do you have what it takes to handle the burden and responsibility that comes with what you are looking for? Are you mature for it? Can you handle the responsibility? Can you handle the pressure? For those of us who are seeking for success, can you handle the pressure that comes with a success? Because success has its own pressure. If you are not extremely successful, life is very easy. It's easier to handle poverty than to handle riches. It's easier. Nobody wants to steal from you. No crook wants to come and burgle you. No wrong people want to be your friend, because who wants to be the poor man's friend? But when you become wealthy, you attract people. You can't tell what's in their heads. You must have the maturity to discern who is a good friend and who is a bad friend. Opportunities are going to open, because the higher you go, the bigger the doors open. And you have to determine which ones are of God and which ones are not of God. Do you have the maturity for it? So, for you to determine whether it's time, there must be process, there must be opportunity, there must be maturity, readiness. And fourth, there must be a check of motivation. Why do you want it? Why do you want it? For me, that is the biggest test. Because that was the test that Jesus passed when he was tempted. The devil came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. Is that a legitimate request? Yes. Why? Because Jesus is hungry after 40 days of fasting. 2, he's the Son of God. 3, he's got the power. Now, if you have a need, you have the opportunity, and you have the power, what stops you from doing it? Because Jesus had a need. He needed food. He had the power. He was the Son of God. All these three were present. So why didn't Jesus turn the stones into bread? Because he had to check the motive. He's not just meeting a need. He's asking, why am I going to do this? Why should I do this? And the reason was because you have to prove yourself. And Jesus looked at that motive. He saw it was a wrong motive. So opportunity is there, but why are you doing it? Is it because you want to score a point? You want to prove yourself? You want to do something to impress somebody? If that's the motive, it's a wrong motive. It means it's not time yet. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he turned 5 loaves of bread to feed 5,000 people. So it stands to reason he could have turned stones to bread. He had the power. He had opportunity. He had the need. But the motive was wrong. When God opens a door for you, or when a door opens, let me put it this way. When a door opens, you have to check your motive. Why are you entering? Whom are you fighting? Whom are you trying to impress? Because, you know, we can go through life trying to impress people. Trying to impress ourselves. Impress our friends. Impress schoolmates, colleagues, enemies, friends, people who said we will never make it. Have you ever had something good happen to you and you wish somebody was there to see it? That's the person you're trying to impress. He should have been there to see it. Have you ever had a great opportunity come your way and you hesitated and said, let me pray about it to be sure whether it's the will of God? Or do you just jump at opportunities because they seem good? If all you do is jump at opportunities, you will just follow opportunity, but you may not follow the purposes of God. And that is why sometimes you can go through life, have everything in life, and still be extremely unhappy. You have the money, but you're unhappy. You have the friends, you're unhappy. You have the fame, but you're unhappy. Your whole life is unhappy. And people see you and they wonder, why should he be unhappy? He has everything. Because when you don't fulfill the purpose of God in your life, nothing can give you satisfaction. True satisfaction is going out and doing the thing that God put in your heart from eternity to accomplish. That is where satisfaction comes from. Not just jumping to do what you feel like doing, but doing what God called you to do. Let me give you some final thoughts before I close today. First is that we experience our lives in stages. We experience our lives in stages. There is a stage in your life where all you have to do is to serve. And there will come a stage in your life where you'll be released from that. There is a stage in your life where some people come in to help you, and there will be another stage when those people leave your life. There is a stage in your life when you need people to hold your hand, and there is another stage when you have to keep your own hand up. There's a stage in your life when people are there for you. And there's another stage when you must be there for other people. There is a stage in your life when you come to church and all you do is listen to the word of God. There's another stage when you start taking what you have received and also teaching other people, either through New Believers class or something like that. Don't be a baby permanently. You can't be a baby, permanent baby. There are people who have been in this church for years. They are permanent babies. Permanent spiritual babies. Because after years, they are not serving. They are not teaching anybody. They've been taught and taught and taught and taught, never teaching anybody. I think by the time you've been in this church about 3 years or 5 years, you should be teaching something or serving somewhere and imparting what you have received to somebody else. But you don't just sit and receive. That simply means you are not moving in stages. Can you imagine you go to school class one and you repeat class one for life? After some time, people come to the class and the class table is small for you, the class chair is small for you. And all your classmates are short, small people. And you are this big, huge guy sitting there. You are older than the teacher, older than the head teacher. You have to move in stages. We live life in stages. And you have to know when a certain stage in your life is over. For me, I get to know by so many indicators. One of it is what I've explained. You lose interest and your interests shift. And you want to do something else, something more challenging. That simply means that stage is moving on and you can learn to follow God along. So we live life in stages. You can't have everything all at once, at one go. Secondly, each stage in our lives is surrounded by new seasons. Each stage in our life is surrounded by new season or is ushered in by new seasons. Every stage in your life, it will bring a new season, a new atmosphere, a new environment. It happens every time. Even in marriages, marriages go through seasons. Do you know that, those of you who have been married? If you've been married for about 40 years, you can tell there are seasons in the marriage. Seasons of misunderstanding, seasons of understanding, seasons of adjustment, seasons of real companionship, seasons of real friendship, and you go through all of that. You start with your children. They grow up, mommy, daddy asking you for advice. And then after some time, you're asking them for advice. You raise your children, and then they start taking care of you. You used to tell your son, sit here, sit there. By the time you are 80, they are the ones telling you, mommy, sit down. You are not going anywhere. Sit down, I'm coming. I said, don't go anywhere, sit down. It's changed. The seasons have changed. Life is lived in stages. We go through different stages. And every time, don't ever think that all the friends you have will be with you throughout life. There will be one or two friends you may maintain for life. One or two. But the majority, you're going to lose them. Not because they are bad people or they hate you or you hate them, but they may have new interests and move on. I have had various, didn't you have a best friend in class one, class two best friend? By the time you get to JSS or middle school or secondary school, you had new best friends. You go to university, you have a new best friend. You start working, you have a new best friend. Then you marry, you have a new best friend. So how many best friends have you had? So at a point you stop counting because you know that this best friend won't last. You know, it's just a process. Only a few people stay in your life permanently. Only a few. You can count them on your hands, not more than five. Stay in your life for a very long time. The majority come in and go out. And it's crucial because most of the time the friends that come into your life are indicative of the stage and the season of life you are at. And when God is taking you to another level, new friends, new people are going to come into your life. Third, new seasons in our lives require new responses from us. When the seasons change, our attitudes must change. You can't be a child forever. You can't laugh forever. You can't joke forever. You can't play forever. Have you ever gone to a place where, you know, your friends and they are laughing about something and it's not funny to you any longer? Sometimes you may meet old friends and they crack some jokes about things that happened in the past. Ha, 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 ha. And you're wondering, hey, we've moved from there. I mean, yes, it was funny then, 50 years ago, but it's not funny now. Life is more serious than that joke. And you just realize what you used to have in common that excited you is gone. A new attitude is required. When the seasons change, you change. You are a bachelor, it's one season. You marry, it's another season. You can be a bachelor and remain and act like a, you can be married and act like a bachelor. You change. You don't go out and stay till 12 in the night, midnight, and come home and say, oh, I was just with my friends. I'm telling you, we were laughing, we were having fun. You will have fun at home. It doesn't work that way. Because when you become married, whether you like it or not, you have to start making your spouse your best friend. You say, well, but when we sit down, we can't talk. Create conversation. You must sit and converse. But when we converse, we are quarreling. Sit and converse. Your friends too, when you used to converse, you were quarreling until now you laugh. So sit and converse till you can now smile and laugh and enjoy your wife. The seasons have changed. Don't behave like a child when the seasons say you must be an adult. Don't behave like a bachelor or a spinster when the seasons say you must be a married person. Every changing season requires new responses. Our responses to new seasons reveal God's purposes for us. The way we respond to every new season will reveal God's purposes for us. I just want you to look back at your life at the last 10 years. Can you identify which seasons you have been through in the last 10 years? Can you look back at the last 10 years or 15 years and say, oh, yeah, I remember I was in that season. I've moved. Things have shifted from me. This is where I am and this is where I believe God wants me to be. You should be able to tell when the seasons have moved. Your interests have changed. Your appetites have changed. There comes a time where everything in you, every desire for money goes. And all you just want to do is to worship God. It's a new season. There was a time when you were running for money. You hear money, your eyes click open. And you start running. Hey, the money, the money, the money. Then after some time, yes, the money is there, but your heart is no longer in it. You want to take that money and go out and serve people. And pay somebody's fees and help some orphanage and help some village somewhere or look into church and bless somebody. The thing that gives you money is no longer running for the money, but serving with your money. And you see that when you do those things, your heart really is at peace. It simply means the seasons have changed. The seasons have changed. You can't go on doing the same thing. The seasons have changed. And for all of us, the seasons will change. And in life, you may go through about 10 seasons before you run out of your life. 10 major seasons, which are characteristics, new interests, new friends, new passion, new desires, all of these things coming. New things coming, old things going out. And then you're going to enter another season in your life. At this point, all of us are in different seasons in our lives. Some of you are where others used to be. Some of you are where others are going to be. Some of you, all that God requires of you now is service. Service. Don't run for reward. That's all God wants. Serve. If people don't even treat you well, serve. That's a season in your life. I spoke about a season in my life when I started the ministry. And God said to me, I'm going to teach you how to live without money. I didn't know what that meant. Until I realized the only money, the highest value money I could ever have or I ever had was 2 cities. And this is from somebody who had a regular job, quit his job, now serving God, 2 cities. I'll go to board taxi with no money and God will provide money instantly. I'll get up in the morning with nothing to eat and somehow I'll get food to eat. I was living on the edge of faith. There's nothing extra. It's not, you don't get up in the day knowing how it's going to end. It's one step at a time. And God says, I'm going to teach you. I struggled against it, prayed against it, but it didn't change. And I remember so well the day that I was praying and God says, I'm taking you to a new phase. I'm going to teach you something new. You're off that lesson. That day, somebody came to my house and gave me 20 cities. And they were all in 2 cities. I remember it so well. Fresh 2 cities. 10 crisp. 2. I said, God has a sense of humor. But it taught me a lesson. That you can live for God without a lot of money in your hands. And you can live and not be anxious even when there is nothing. And that lesson has helped me throughout life. Because I have built things without money. Using the same lessons of living life without money. What if I had not learned the lesson of that stage in my life? I wouldn't have the secret to build the things I'm doing now. What is God teaching you right now? What is He telling you? Maybe it's bitter. You feel, I need to get out of this. Life is too hard. But have you paused to ask, is God taking me through a season? You want to be out, but does God want you to be out? Is He teaching you something? Is He perfecting something in you? Is He bringing you to a point where you will be more useful in the years ahead? Because if you grumble in that class, you will repeat it. God's class is like that. Remember the Jews? One lesson, it took them 40 years. From Egypt to the promised land is 40 days travel. But just simple instruction, trust me. They never learnt it. When there is no food, hey, why did God bring us to die? Okay, manna. Hey, water. You give us who? Where is water? Okay, water. You give us water and manna. Where is the meat? Okay, meat. And they kept complaining. God says, you have to learn to trust me. You have to learn to trust me. And for 40 years, they didn't learn that lesson. And they died not having learned the lesson. And the Bible says those things were written for our example. Don't die struggling with God over one lesson. Where are you in your life? What is He teaching you? Where is He bringing you to? Don't fight Him. Just allow Him to lead you, and this season will also pass. And there will be another season that will bring you into another level of your life. But in the end, whatever seasons He takes you through, it will not take you under. It will take you higher. and it will bring you to your expected end. And I pray to God that whatever season He's taking us through, that we will learn to say, Lord, we are ready. We're not going to struggle with You. Just show us Your way. And He will show you a better way.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655. +233 2676 7655. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.